They were sent out from Antioch. Antioch was a church very mindful of wanting to press this new Christianity to places it had never been before. They were going to be a little bit surprised that as Paul and Barnabas came back, that this formerly Jewish element called Christianity was very rapidly becoming a Gentile movement. But as they were coming back to, you know, and being sent out by Antioch, it only assumes they're going to come back. They're going to report. And so that is just what they were done. Well, for us, we are looking at very much the same thing in coming back from our missions trip in Minneapolis. First, let us see the return to anticipation. We'll be reading from Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. First, we'll see the return to anticipation in verse 26. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. We can see that here that the church was eager to see. They were anxious for Paul and Barnabas to share with them the glories of this trip. You see, because Antioch was responsible for blessing these two, for supporting these two as they went. So they were very much partners in this mission endeavor. You can also see that within this, the parallel is identical. We left this church with your blessing, with your prayers, with your financial support, with your encouragement, and especially your prayers, that we may have success on the journey and come back and report to you. Secondly, we see the report with adoration, verse 27. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas did not return to the church to tell them what they had done. They returned to the church to tell them what God had done. I trust you will pick that up from us today as well. We don't want to share with you what we did. We want to share with you what God did. And of course, within this, then, our experience is about seeing the hand of God move in our midst. We had various experiences, and we have various ones that we'll share, and they will begin doing that at this time. Gary.
First of all, we want to thank the mission committee for praying about and actually picking Bethany Global Ministries for our mission trip, and we want to thank John and Kathy Pedersen, and John and Angel, who was our Guatemalan trainee. They did an excellent job. I actually think you should give the mission committee a hand for the job they did. It takes a lot of work to put this together. I'm going to touch on Urban Ventures, which is the group. It's up in the cities there that they have a school for their mission is generational poverty. I mean, myself included, I've always thought these people are in their condition or their plight because they're lazy. Well, you know, I've told some people that I work with that I was going to go up and do this, and they said, well, they said the same thing. Well, they deserve what they got. They're just lazy. And I said, well, you're a stock car driver, and your son is a stock car driver. Why does he drive stock cars? Well, because the dad did. And that's basically what the problem is up there, is it's generational poverty. The kids have never seen their parents work, and Urban Ventures is the organization that is trying to change that through Christ, and they have a school that the kids can go to because only 70% of the kids don't graduate from that from that neighborhood. So they've been able to partner with Corporate America, actually Cub Foods, Wells Fargo, there's some other ones that have seen what Christ has done there, and they are willing to stick money into the community. And so they have a school there where the kids can go, and they can actually hear the Word of God at that school. But they also have the Hub, where it's a place where the kids can go to take some time off to talk to their mentor, to learn about God there. And then they also have Urban Gardens, which is a project where they were able to buy up the old railway line ground, and they've turned them into gardens. And that we worked there on Thursday, and you know, there's God's work at hand. I mean, it was hot. When the sun was out, it was hot and humid, but that was the only day that it was cloudy, and everybody was able to work without, you know, being exhausted. And so, and it had rained the night before, so the weeds picked easy, and they were real happy with the progress we made there. We also, you saw the pictures, cleaned the Hub for them. But they also have something called Mad Dads, which is a group of guys that have grown up either in drug abuse or addictions or whatever, and they have taken to the streets to help the local police, just basically if they see a situation, whatever, or they see someone in need, they're able to help them because they have access to the human resources that the common person doesn't because of their organization. As it was on the video there, the place was started by Art Erickson 20 years ago, but one of the buildings used to be the crack house for the whole area, and now it's the God-driven entity driving Urban Ventures. They also have Java Coffee, Urban Coffee it's called. They sell coffee for profit to help pay for the programs along with Corporate America. But the one thing I noticed up there... I was going to talk about Marie Sandvik too, but I'm going to cut this short. There's in Galatians 6:9. I looked. One of the verses I thought of was it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will harvest if we do not give up." And there's a lot of need up there, so we need to pray for the leaders up there, because we were only up there a week, and I mean I was exhausted. I mean I work 80, 90 hours a week physically. But I mean, after, you know, up there, I was exhausted. And these people doing this work need our prayers just to stay energized. So this is also a God moment. Scott knew that if I talk last, I wouldn't be able to talk at all. So I'll turn it over to the next person.
I'm going to share with you about the Marie Sandvik Center, located in inner city Minneapolis, where we served our first evening there. And had we known, it's one of my only regrets, really, if I could say there was a regret. I think if we had gone there after our last night, like if we went there last night, my experience and how I would have handled that would have been totally different. When we did street evangelism on our Friday night, I really learned so much about how to approach and how to strike up a conversation about Christ. And I wish I would have maybe had better tools the first evening I was there. So that's one of my things that I've really learned and want to work on. The Marie Sandvik Center is an old-time gospel mission started by this woman, Marie Sandvik, years ago. And those that are struggling with addiction, alcoholism, that are, you know, just really have nothing, can come there, get a free meal, maybe a bag of produce, but they have to stay and listen to the gospel message. That's the one requirement they have. So it's just really, really powerful. One of the things that they do while most of the adults are listening to the messages, they bring their kids to the nursery. And several of us were able to work in the nursery with these children. And we put some of their pictures up there that we wanted you to pray for, Jacqueline and Jaime and Cisco and some of these children. You can just see their future, what it's going to be, unless, you know, parents or them, they know Jesus. You can just see where it's headed, and it's just so sad, and it's just heartbreaking. There's numerous people there serving day around for nothing. I mean, they're just there. There's a woman I want you to pray for. Her name is Farhana. She's from Pakistan. She's works for a mission organization, or I should say serves for a mission organization up there, and she was in this nursery. She, like I said, grew up in Pakistan, and we got to talking, and she found out that, hey, we are staying just a few blocks from where she lived. Well, that was quite exciting. Then she asked me where we were from, and I said, Clear Lake. And she said, is that near Kanawha? And I said, why, yes, my mom and my aunt grew up right next to Kanawha. And she said, is that in Brit? And I said, yes, that's where they went to school. And she said, well, that's interesting, because she said, I've been on a mission trip to that area. And I said, what? I mean, we're talking about Iowa, you know? She goes, yes, we go on mission trip to there. She said, you know, there is a large Hispanic community and population, and we, you know, they need people who can speak their language, and we've gone down there to share the gospel. And, you know, that really took me back, because I thought, you know, here so close, you know, I go up there, she comes down here. It just really touched my heart, that God, how God can use us. I wanted to share with you Galatians 5:6, which the very first day I was there, I opened my Bible to that page, and every day I read this verse. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So, I better stop or I'll keep crying.
So that, I believe it was Tuesday and Wednesday, we went to HCC, which is the Hospitality Center for Chinese. And basically they have, like, they do activities with the Chinese kids in the neighborhood. And in our opportunity, we got to make a little skit for them and crafts and games. And when we got there, they were very, most of them, almost everyone spoke English, but it was like, most of it was really easy to understand, but some of it was like broken up English, and you could see God was working with them, and you could, like, when we were doing crafts with the little kids, I could, like, feel his presence there, and he was just there and stuff.
Well, so, you know, I expected that these little kids just to be, like, so shy, and they wouldn't want to talk, and they'd speak Chinese and just be like, yeah, she's not going to understand me, so I'm just going to do this to her. So I was like, okay, God, please just help me through this. I don't want to be all awkward around them. I just want to, you know, be myself. And so, you know, I figured out that most of them spoke English, and I was just, I opened up a little more so that I could, you know, talk to them. And I don't know, God just made it so that, you know, these kids were comfortable around me, and I was comfortable around them. So, just, I could see God was working through them and through us. I don't know.
And then, I believe it was Thursday morning, we went to the Somali Mall. And before, when we went there in the morning, they were still, like, preparing to open or whatever. And we went outside and we prayed for their, like, for them, because they are Buddhist, basically, and they're
Muslim.
And they, like, they just have this weird religion. And so we prayed for them. And When we went into the Somali Mall, they had very broken English, and we went through their little shops and stuff, and everybody was, like, trying to get you to buy their stuff. And my mom was talking to a lady, and the lady had got her to buy this cream whatever because she had stayed there so long. And it was just, They're very persistent on buy something. If you're going to stay here, just buy something. And, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, in the Somali Mall, we walked by the store, and we saw these skirts. And so I started out wanting one of these, but it was plain. And so I was kind of like, okay, how do I ask her for this? God, please help me with this. And so, you know, I go, can I have a plain red skirt, please? And she's like, no flowers? And I was like, no flowers, please. She was like, why no flowers? I was like, oh, I guess I'll have a skirt with flowers. And then, so then she goes and she's like, let's see, this size might fit. Orange? And I was like, no, red, please. And she was like, why no orange? And I was like, because I would like red, please. And I was like, oh, please, God, please just help me with this. Help me to be a little more brave so I can tell her I want red. And so, you know, she finally understands. And she's like, oh, red. And I was like, yes, red, please. She was like, flowers. And I was like, yeah, flowers, please. And she's like, okay. She like runs. She's just like, okay. And I was like, all right, thank you, God. But yeah. Yeah.
So we went to Feed My Starving Children. That was on a Wednesday, I think. And we served a lot of food and products like protein, we put rice in bags, and yeah, it was a really good experience. Like when we got there, we saw a presentation of all the people, all the kids that were in need, and
like Bryce said, we were blessed with the opportunity to go and pack some meals for some very unfortunate malnourished kids in Honduras. And like Bryce said, they showed us a picture of this little girl. Apparently, she was like 5 or 6. But in the before picture, she looked up like this shriveled up little baby. I mean, she was, oh, it was sad. But then after the after picture of just this little insignificant meal, this little bag that was this big, she just looked so happy and so healthy. Her skin was radiant. And I know you guys saw the video of them working. And I wasn't in that video. My job was warehouse, which was to fly around everywhere and to fill up all the buckets, and give people bags and take the boxes when they were full and get them all sealed. And so I had a different perspective than those that were kind of working. And I just want you to know that I am so proud of our group. They worked so hard, because kind of at first you're kind of trying to feel out, you know, how this goes, and it starts really slow. But then our group, it just clicked in their head that we're doing this for Jesus and that we're increasing the kingdom of heaven. And so I was flying around. I was sweating like a pig. It was gross. But they had some music playing, Christian music, and they were singing along. And they were just every time a box we'd done, they would cheer. And what really encouraged me is every time I was flying around, they were timing themselves. They were literally racing to be as efficient as possible. I could hear Hope. She was yelling out the times, and they were cheering because every time they were going faster and faster. And like Jane was the one that packaged it all up and put it in the box, and everyone else, because there were 6 different stations, but Jane, she was packing it like there was no time to waste, and she had the boxes all packed and ready to go, and they were going so fast, I could just have it timed in my head that I knew when they'd have a box done, and it just gave me great strength to know that our church, we understood the purpose of that activity, and that was to work as hard and efficient as possible to increase God's kingdom through those children, because we may never see those children, but through those meals, God's going to save lives. He's going to bring them home. And just like you know, I don't know if it was on here, but together with our group of 111 people, we packaged enough meals to feed 76 kids for a whole entire year. And some of us kind of feel like if we would have had like another 2 hours, we could have got even more, because there was a total of 111 people there. And Pastor and I were kind of discussing that it would have been kind of cool if we could have got it up to 111 kids fed for a year. But it was just a great experience, and it's just something that we can do here as a church. I was just thinking of all you guys, and we can do this stuff all the time, because you know what? We come together, we can accomplish great things for God. We can work hard, and without that distraction, we can accomplish a lot.
Pretty much the same report from Feed My Starving Children organization. I didn't know we were in the same block, but I'm going to just add to what John said. Feed My Starving Children organization is a nonprofit Christian organization which is committed to feeding all these starving children. Hope starts with food. That could be, just kind of odd thing to say here, because we don't know what it's like to be hungry or starving, but they actually go out to the countries. They've served, I think, around 70 countries so far. They actually pack the food and then ship to those countries. And I'm gonna again show you those images. And yes, sound please. Tabitha, go ahead and. The first one, thank you. Hope, I'm sorry, I gotta show this again. All right, that's our group, and there are other five other groups who are doing the same thing. And then, I know I missed some members, so go ahead and hit the next one. Tabitha, thank you. And then that's what three were doing. And in the next one, don't miss John because he's just walking around. No, I'm kidding. And then that's our pastor. The last one. All right. Thank you. And I think we knew where those food was going. I think they mentioned Ecuador. Okay, that. And then that day we packed 27,684 meals. And then the cost, that's volunteer-based. They're all volunteers. And the food cost was about a little bit over $6,000. And they're always willing to receive donations. And we were so glad to be part of that. Thanks.
Hello. We went to the global market. And in the global market was food. You can purchase groceries. You can grow. You can the crafts. The different countries. Some of them were. I can't think of all of them, but there was a lot from the Somalis and all that. And then the food. We had a very, very interesting food. We had everything from camel on a stick, you name it. It had anything possible, duck, any meat possible. Oh, and Bryce will tell you what he had. That was pretty disgusting. But they had a lot of crafts, and it was just a wonderful thing to see the different items they ate, the items they made, and the food they ate. And we all had different kind of foods, from Mexican to you name it. I can't even name all the food. But it was very eye-opening to see what the food they do eat. And the desserts were really, really, really good. But it was very neat to see all that kind of stuff. And Bryce will tell you what he had.
So I was with Angel, and he made me buy this cow ton. He had two, and I had one. I didn't even eat it, really. Yeah. It was pretty spicy. So we were at the global market, and we saw all kinds of foods, like Asian, Russian, you can name it almost. Yeah, there was so many things to try, and it was really expensive there.
But it was nice to see the different products they make, because they are all handmade, some of it, and not like America. You can go in a factory, But they had beautiful scarves and bags and all kinds of stuff. And it was nice to see what their traditions are. Thank you.
Hello. We got to go to a place called Hidden Treasures. It's a secondhand store, and I'm sure everyone's been to a secondhand store. So Hidden Treasures is a pretty cool name for the store. What we did there is we divided up in groups. Some of us washed out flower pots. Some of us cleaned the picture frames. Some of us did pricing of clothes, washed glassware. You know what God taught me about that store? Hidden Treasures. Okay, Di and I had a chance to talk to the manager of this store. Not only is it a secondhand store, it's a second chance store. It's a store where they hire people who made bad choices and have come right out of prison or a halfway house. And I thought, that is really neat. So I asked the manager, Jesse, do you do anything special for these people? He said, yes. He said, every morning before we open the store, we have prayer and Bible study. Can you imagine if every place you all worked started your day with prayer and Bible study, what a difference that would make? And I thought that was just so neat, the title of Hidden Treasures, and I thought, okay, God, what is that about? Hidden treasures in people. We can look at every one of us and find a hidden treasure. And so I thought, God wants us to look at each other like he looks at us. So that's the hidden treasure. And it was just so awesome to see our entire group work together as one. And when one person was done with their job, they just jumped in another group and helped the other person out. An interesting thing happened. We were outside washing out pots, and I just felt led to go up and talk to one of the city workers that was behind us painting. And I just went up and told him what we were doing there, and I asked him if he had a home church. And he says, I used to go to church, but I don't anymore. And so the more I talked to him, and I says, could I have your name and let us pray for you? He said, yes. And he said, thank you for asking. Maybe I will go back to church. So please pray for T.O. He said, T.O. blah, 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 but I couldn't understand all that. So we will just go with T.O. So when you pray, pray for T.O. to get back in the church and get back on the right track with the Lord. Thank you.
I'm going to share a little bit about Street Level Ministries we went to on Friday night. It's a small group. They hit the streets every Friday and Saturday night. Their mission is to spread the message of salvation. And they're doing God's work out on the streets, one person at a time. So they have some stuff you can pick up. So we walked by the table and took a few things with us and went out onto the streets, and they divided us up into groups. And there were six to start with. We divided down into three, and I had Katrina, and we went with a gentleman who's a financial officer who has such a passion for street ministry. We walked with him, and this little voice, I'll tell Katrina's story a little bit, but it's hers to share. This little voice behind me said, I am not talking to anyone out here, as we got into the streets. So we walked up, and the first person we met was named John. John shared his story. He was homeless. He was an alcoholic, and he'd been on the street for 10 years. And he told us a lot about himself. He had been in church. His mission on the street, because he was homeless and because he felt he needed to do something, was a backpack full of food that he carried around so he could share it with other homeless, which was awesome. But we asked if we could pray for him, and we prayed over John because John wants so badly to beat the addiction. And we prayed over him. And we prayed. And John looked up with the most searching eyes, and this little hand reached through and said, hi, I'm Kat. And she shared a little bit with him, talked, gave him some a little reassurance, and I thought, wow. Reminded me of who we really are. We're Christ's ambassadors. I think it's 2 Corinthians, where we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God works through us. He's making his appeal through us. How powerful this ministry is on the street, that God would use us, even the reluctant ones, to reach out and touch those who are so in need. So we walked, Katrina and I went, and we talked to, I think, 5 or 6 women we talked to, and we met a woman named Shaquila who shared her story, and she pretty much said that her life was a mess. She had pretty much lost everything and was working really hard to try to put things back together. We talked, asked her if she'd found a church in Minneapolis, and she said she hadn't found a church yet. She was going to look. She had grown up in a church. I asked if we could pray for her, and she said, "For me to ask you to pray for me is selfish. Pray for the world, because it's a mess out there." She touched my heart, but the more we talked, I asked her if she had a Bible. And she went, and she said, "May I share a secret with you? I have been trying to figure out how to get a Bible because I don't know where to go to get one. And in my hand, some of the stuff that we picked up was a Bible." So God had put that Bible in my hand to share with her at that time. So we talked with Shaquila for a little while. Pray for her. Pray she finds a church. I know she will put that Bible to use. There were so many people on the street who are struggling with addiction, with homelessness, and they really need our prayers. Thank you.
Okay, so like Linda said, we were out doing street level, and I really liked it. And so I was looking at a few, we were witnessing to people, who need Jesus, and it was a really cool thing. I felt like, hold on, that God was calling us to do this, and so as we're witnessing and stuff, personally I think we need to do this more, witnessing out in the streets, even at our hometown and communities around us, we should be witnessing to people. And I found some verses in Mark 13, verse 10, that says, "And the Gospels must first be preached to all nations." And another verse was Mark 13, verse 11, "Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." And that really touched me. And I have some statistics. 7 million, there are 7 million active Christians who read their Bible, pray for the nations, and have a personal relationship with him. And the second one is, this is kind of sad, 1.5 billion people who are Christians in name only. They just attend church on Easter and on Christmas, but don't really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think we need to, all, even at the church, one night, get together, go out into our streets of Clear Lake or any community and just witness to people who need Jesus, so that they too may be saved.
I'm just going to jump in here for a second. Autumn and Rosie went out on street level with me, and little Autumn was there. That, you know, any timidity? No. At every opportunity, as with it mostly being adults, it was either Rosie or I that was kind of initiating the conversation. And little Autumn is there, and anytime a reference was made, she's just scrambling for a Bible verse, and she's just jumping forward with this open Bible to read that Bible verse. And it was just so exciting to see how that God not only was using her in other people's lives, but the very evidence of God's hand upon her to give her that boldness to do it. And it was just awesome.
I have to have notes. I'm exhausted. I can't even think. But God changes people. God's amazing. It's great. That's what we've heard. That's what I thought. So, but I want to talk about me, because here's what happened. I went out on the mission trip. We talked about goals before, and I thought, I haven't got any goals. I've been on a mission trip before. I know exactly what's going to happen. We are going to be so totally amazed by God working through our team and through each individual, as you've heard here, that I wouldn't even have a concept of what kind of goal to actually to make. As I was working all week, Psalm 119, verse 18 kept coming. It's a song, and songs in your head. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. I'm sure some of you have had that. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I couldn't get it out of there. I sang it when I cleaned a whole closet in that Chinese. They helped me carry everything up and put it all in a different closet and rearrange it. I sang it everywhere. I was like, okay, now I'm going to sing a different song. The kids were singing a lot, so I'd try to sing that. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. It just kept coming back. I've prayed that before. We pray it before sisters a lot of time. Help us. We pray it because we want to understand. I've prayed it for discernment. And that was kind of basically the whole gist of, yep, I'm sure he'll do it. We know he fulfills his promises, so I know he'll help me. But I didn't even consider or think what that really would look like. If my eyes were open, and I'm going to lose it, you guys. God does indeed answer prayer. That prayer, he answered it this week. When I told friends I was going to go on a mission trip, they said, why'd you pick Minneapolis? Why are there so many Chinese? Why are there so many Somalis? Well, what are you going to do? I mean, they had tons of questions, and I basically had really no intelligent answer. I mean, not a really meaningful one. I'm going on a mission trip. I'm going to help people. I mean, you can imagine. You can get your Bible and you can say all the things. But really, in your heart, open your eyes, was like, I was pretty dumb. The questions I couldn't answer. Really. As a week went by, every day, that answer became clearer and clearer of why we were there. God, in his infinite power, his amazing, amazing majesty, has been sending missionaries to the nations for years, years and years and years. God's been all over this. God's been doing all of this. Now, after I'm up there, I'm seeing God is so amazing. He's bringing the nations to us. They're coming to our universities, to our cities, to our colleges, to your high schools. The nations are coming. It's been totally a prayer of mine to have the opportunity to, you know, and I know you've heard me in Bible studies, we want to find that one person. I need to find that one person I can talk to God about. I want to help that one person find Jesus. Well, my eyes were open. Wow, he answered that prayer. Long time ago, I was looking around for that one person. He'd already sent them. I knew the last day we were there, I missed it. I totally missed it. God had been sending probably, hundreds? Thousands of people to me. I just missed them all. It's amazing. Totally amazing. So that's how God grew me and used me this week. Just wanted to share that with you. So be careful. I don't know what I'm going to pray for next, but when he opens our eyes...
Well, I have the last activity we have, and that was our prayer walk. And I thought I had never done a prayer walk, but I guess I had, because when I take my dog to Lime Creek, I'm always reciting the gospel and or whatever I know, and I'm praying. But I never thought it of a prayer walk. So they gave us this sheet with all the things to how to handle it and what to do. But before we did that, we were also introduced to the missionary from Kansas that had gone to China and married a guide from Tibet. And we didn't know really much about people from Tibet, because Tibet was a closed nation. Nobody got there. The gospel couldn't go there. Nothing could go there because China couldn't let them. Nobody would let them. So the borders were closed. And I think they said it was in the 50s when China made people go into Tibet, and then missionaries start coming in and the gospel start coming. But it's a very, very hard society to work with because of the simple nature of the religion. The religion is mixed with their life. So if you take the religion away, you are taking their family, you are taking their customs, you are taking everything. So for a person that is from Tibet, I think you call him Tibetan, I don't know, but to become a Christian is a lot harder than from a person of another religion, because they're not just losing what they believe as a god, or they believe in everything. A stone can be a god, but they also worship Buddha. They have different like denominations, so all is different. But it's an ugly religion because Satan is really had a hold of those people. And this lady was telling us her husband has been a Christian for like 8 years, and he's a missionary. And he believes in God, but he still has this fear deep inside him when he goes to try to reach the people in Minneapolis that come from Tibet. He has to be very careful because he doesn't want people to know that he's a Christian until he knows the person, because he's afraid. He has this fear. And once he knows the person and starts his mission, he still is scared. And I think it's so sad because... we need to pray for him. His name is Scott. So when you see Pastor, remember this other missionary with the same name, that he loves God. He became a Christian, but he still does not understand the power of God in his life. He still is afraid of the power of Satan that he has been under for years and years and generations and generations. And what that made me think is, it's not just in Tibet, but everywhere. Because Satan is so much alike in other religions. Like, you see Spanish-speaking people, you want to save them, and what do you get? You think they're safe, and they turn around, what about Mary? And they cannot leave Mary and come to Christ. They worship Mary, that is a statue, and they don't worship the Son of God that is real and has all the power. And you go to other religions, and it's the same, Allah, same thing. And so... Satan does the same thing over and over and over again, keep people in fear. So when you think about all these unreached people, pray that the Lord will open their eyes and will give them the strength to take this fear away from them. Because with God, we should have no fear. We should be able to do anything because we're able. He gives us the power. In Ephesians, he tells you that He has all these spiritual blessings that he gives us, and we can ask any time, we can use any time, we can have at our disposal and do anything we want to. So with that in mind, think, when you are walking and praying, you can see all these people that look different, that act different. Maybe they just look like you and me, but you don't know their hearts, and you don't know the power of Satan in those hearts, or the power of God for that matter. You might see some that look really burdened when they walk. Say a prayer for them. When we were walking, I was with Ellen, Bryce, Autumn, and myself, and we saw a person and we pray for them. We walk in a park. We pray over the children that were playing in the park and the equipment, and about the children that will keep on coming, that the Lord will be with them and will help them, and will the prayers that we were saying will come to all the people that would come to this park. We saw some persons with their, like Jewish people, we pray for them that they will get to know the Lord of the New Testament, the real Jesus. We pray for other Muslim people that we saw walking, and it's just neat to see, because then you, the Lord opens your eyes, like Linda said, open my eyes so I can see, and you see these people with different eyes. You're not just looking at a person that is dressed differently or weirdly or looks different, or why do they have their heads covered, or why do they have this or that. You're looking at their souls and the burden they have, that one day they have to die, and they, you want them to go to heaven, and just pray for them, because we don't know, the Lord might send somebody after you to talk to them, to put, you just put the very little seed, and prayer is powerful, believe me, prayer is very powerful. We start our trip with prayers, because all of you prayed for us. Everywhere we went, we prayed. Everything we do, we prayed, and we saw the power of God working through us and in us. And we could see, even the little kids, they were servicing, they were helping, there were no fights, there were no, nobody saying, I don't want to do that, you know, or I'm tired, you know, I'm too old, I don't want to do it. No, nothing like that. Everybody was willing and able, and God just was working in our midst. So God is powerful, and God is good, and God can do anything and everything.
I would just like to add to the prayer walking. At first, prayer walking sounded like it was going to be maybe a little bit boring to the teenagers, and like, how do you do that? You never know who you're going to be paired up with. God just has a way of working things out. And Amy and Grace and I were the three that could to go together for prayer walking, and we really had a great time praying. I don't think we ever stopped praying the whole time we were out there in the park. And as we were walking around praying, we would just take turns. It'd be, I'd go first, then Amy, then Grace, and just keep on going. And all of a sudden, we got this idea. If we can prayer walk, we can prayer swing. So we prayered swung, whatever. And then we saw this seesaw that kind of bounces on both sides. So the girls got on each side, and I sat in the middle. And we were praying, and all of a sudden, a mother and a little boy about maybe two or three walked by, and he had these hearing aids on each side, so we prayed for healing for this boy. And I think the mother overheard us, because she looked at us. She got the biggest smile on her face. That totally blessed the three of us, that we were there praying in the park for somebody we didn't even know that touched somebody else's heart. And all of a sudden, Amy just starts praying to God, what about the old couple over there with that dog? And she started praying for them. And Grace says, well, what about that kid over there? And she started praying for them. Let me tell you what, we have some teenagers in this church that are prayer warriors. It is so awesome. It's like, praise God for these kids. And this is not about prayer walking, but God has a way of pairing you up. Where's Rachel? Oh, my gosh. I love that girl. We were at street ministries starting out. We were going to practice. Pair off in twos and practice your testimony. So Rachel was sitting by me. I don't know why, but she was sitting by me, and we just turned to each other and was like, hey, you want to practice together? Sure. She goes, you go first, okay? And then she went. I've never heard Rachel's testimony, but it touched my heart that we had a God moment right there. And then the leader, Hyland, said, do you two want to go with me? And we go, yes. So Rachel and I were paired up to go out to street ministry. And she said she was a little nervous, and I says, it's okay, we're going to do this. She was a pro. You would have been so proud of her, because the Holy Spirit just took over and got inside Rachel. And Rachel went up to total strangers and started talking to them and sharing her story about God.
And I am so proud of all of our kids in this church. And we can all just say praise God for that. Thank you.
You know, I would like to add something to that because I was paired with Ellen. We stay in the same room. And it was just amazing how God did through her. Everywhere we went, people will say, she is really a good testimony because we see all she does and she never complains. And she did everything we all did. And she did it all with a smile. She fell a couple of times, but she just stood up and kept on going. And Bryce, he was so, so sweet. He didn't leave Grandma alone. He was after Grandma, helping her, bringing her water, being sure she was doing okay. And all the kids, everybody was looking for each other. And I think that was a testimony of God being with us.
It was truly an amazing week. I want to conclude this. We're already past what we normally do, and I still have a sermon to finish, so let me get on with it. Yes, you sure may.
But we have all called to serve, and... Oh, I can talk about
it. Yeah, but we need it for the recording.
Oh, I'm sorry. We are all called to serve, and Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So some of us were called to serve on this missions trip, and we obeyed and went. Some of us are called to go to the mission fields of Africa, and they will go and serve. Gary and I just want to say thank you to all of you. We set up that schedule on serving, and you guys are all serving. You're serving the communion. You're serving with the offering, and nobody's complaining. And we're just so thankful for that. There's people that haven't been comfortable stepping out and doing that. And I said, you know what? Just pray about it. There's no right and wrong way. And everybody is doing it. And thank you very, very much. We all are called to serve.
Amen. Clear Lake Christian Church, you sent out a phenomenal team. We had a great advantage that we were all in one place. We were all focused on one thing at a time. And the result of that was just a simplicity of unity and power. We can have the same thing here. We've got a lot more distractions we've got to set aside, but we can still do what we did then. The greatest thing that I felt just a rush of in coming away from the week was sustainability. Are we going to be able to sustain what God has already begun in our hearts? Picking up, point number three, rejoicing in accomplishment. Verse 28, Acts chapter 14. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. They came back. They were all happy to hear this very positive report of what God was doing. The people were all excited about what God had done in the world. Paul and Barnabas shared their trip. We have shared our trip with you. I trust you are rejoicing with us. However, you can see us become emotional over what we experienced. The eyes of Jesus that have been put in our own hearts. And unfortunately, when it comes to a missions trip, we thank you, we praise you for being our partners, for sharing with us in this. But you did not see what we saw. You do not feel what we feel. There's something that's lost in translation. We saw the hand of God move. We saw how that we reacted with one another. I mean, that it was just like you would have sworn we were the most loving group on the face of the planet because we had the ability of focusing on what Jesus was doing. And within that, there's just this thing that for those of you that are family members of these up here, you're going to be going, whoa, just a minute. What are you talking about? What are you doing? When the hand of God moves, when it touches a heart, you must respond. Because you don't see things the way you used to see them anymore. You see them how Jesus sees them. It was easy for us on this trip to not see people as according to their mistakes or their problems. It was easy with your prayers and with our prayers to see them as Jesus sees them, in their need, in their problem, in their brokenness. Now the test comes. Are we going to see people in their need when they cut us off in traffic? Are we going to see them according to their problem when they're rude to us? Are we going to see them in their brokenness when they try to take advantage? It's tougher here than it was there. But we are going to be asking you to join us in that. Because once you see the world, once you see people through Jesus' eyes, you will never look at life. You will never look at your priorities. You will never look at people the same again. The purpose of us going was to do missionary work. But each and every day we were encouraging one another. Though you can go to feed my starving children and feed those bags as if you're filling bags. Or you can go and fill those exact same bags in the power of the Spirit of God, knowing that you are looking for a harvest of spiritual fruit in your effort. When we clean out a closet, when we paint a wall, when we put on a VBS for kids and their parents are witnessing it, we're looking for spiritual fruit. When we hit the streets, it's to see spiritual fruit. We have an increased appetite for spiritual fruit. Please understand that as you see us being a little bit more forward, a little bit more motivated in our desire to continue the impact we saw God make in southern Minneapolis. That's the impact we want to see in our own community. It's the impact we want to see surrounding our own lives. It is that ability of continuing what God just built into each one of us. To see that continue in His power, for the harvest fields are white unto harvest. And God tells us to go. And as you've heard me say before, it may be across the room. It may be across town. It may be around the world. It does not matter. But when you see people like Jesus sees people, you see a spiritual harvest. And that is the tremendous impact of the week we spent in Minneapolis. For we now know what it means to serve in His power, not our own. To be witnesses that we may continue the impact that we felt this week, right here. And this is our desire, that others may come to know Christ. Our plea to you this morning, please join us. As we come to the close of our service today, I certainly commend you on your endurance. Thank you for your graciousness to us, allowing us to share our stories. I hope it is evident God touched our hearts this week, and we will never be the same. I couldn't believe the way that our team would go ahead and just jump forward and volunteer for whatever needed to be done. On Wednesday night, Gary and Lynette led our devotions for our team. And Gary finished with this question, which I'm going to turn into a statement. But he asked, he says, are we doing this for Jesus, or are we doing this because of Jesus? The reason we do what we do is not that we're trying to earn any kudos from Him. We're doing it because He has already made very clear He is God of the universe. He is our all in all. He is our Savior. He is the one who has lifted us up. He is the one that will see us through any challenge we may have. We don't do it for Him. We do it because of Him. I trust that all will be willing to join the impact we're going to make because the Lord has moved our hearts. Please stand. Father, may your name be praised for your goodness to us, your generosity of giving us this kind of an experience that takes us away from all distraction, that we get to see what you see. May our focus be so clear, we don't allow the distractions of day-to-day living wear us down to make us less effective. Lord, we pray for the impact the power of your Spirit anticipates. Thank you for each one here today. Thank you for each one's story. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.